Well, good morning. What a joy it is that we can open God's Word together as we continue through our study through the book of John. We've now reached to about halfway through the chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to John chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 30 through to 36 this morning. We are essentially continuing the discourse, the conversation that we started last week, where we had the crowd first asking Jesus how he crossed the lake. They first asked him that, and then they went into a conversation essentially of why the crowd was seeking Jesus. Which leads us to our passage here this morning, as we continue a conversation about what we should be seeking, and also the dangers of seeking after the wrong things. So let's pick up that conversation at verse 30. Let's read that passage through together. Reading from verse 30. "Therefore, they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What works will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe.'" Let's pray. Lord, we are once again so grateful of your word, Lord. Lord, your words are the words of truth. They are the words of life. And Lord, thank you for this morning, Lord. We ask for your guidance, your wisdom as we look at this passage, Lord. Lord, may your Holy Spirit work among us, Lord, that we may apply this, Lord, to our lives, Lord, that we may glorify you, Lord, in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, if someone were to ask you here, would you rather live one whole year of your life with all your desires met and fulfilled, where you had no worry, no fear, no struggles, but the rest of your life, you would struggle to make ends meet? Or would you rather live one whole year struggling to make ends meet, but live the rest of your life being fully satisfied? Which one would it be? Of course, we know that it would be better to struggle a little now, to suffer a little now, if it meant a life full of satisfaction was just around the corner. For indeed, we know that what is one year compared to a whole lifetime? But unfortunately, we find ourselves doing just the opposite. That is, we are so easily distracted with the here and now, with the physical, with how we are to succeed in this life, and we not take the time to stop and think of what will actually last forever. We are too easily distracted with the desires of our physical bodies, which will only last for a short time, and we tend to overlook the needs of our soul, which will last forever. We tend to even forget that we even have a soul. We think that our physical bodies may be all that there is. We tend to spend too much time preparing our physical bodies to go to the grave instead of ensuring and then preparing our souls to go to heaven. And that is indeed what we look at this passage. We see the crowd demanding another physical sign from Jesus. We see the crowd being focused on the here and now, and they are not aware of their spiritual need. And it seems that all they care about is the here and now of essentially getting another free feed from Jesus. For as we saw last week in verse 26, they do not want another sign from Jesus to get to know him better, but they are demanding another sign just to get more out of Jesus. They just want more food. They are too caught up with seeing signs than actually stopping and realizing what the sign or the miracle is pointing towards. It is just as if you had people walking along a track in the countryside, and then they come across a sign that says, "Danger, imminent rockfall, do not enter." The people stop, they look at the sign, they inspect it, they look at the color, the structure of how it was made, the different components, and they marvel at it. But then they continue on the path in the same direction, looking for another sign of the like, because they were so marveled by it. But they do not read it, and they do not realize what it is actually saying. And then suddenly, what the sign was warning them against suddenly happened. Indeed, what a sad thing it is when people are too focused on the sign or the miracle and do not stop and realize what it is pointing towards. Just as the crowd was focused on getting another sign, another miracle from Jesus, instead of realizing what all the other signs and miracles that he had already done were pointing towards. Indeed, they were too caught up with their physical desires and were unaware of their spiritual need. They were too worried about getting another physical, more physical food and not worried about their spiritual health. And that is what we'll look at this morning. We'll look at how easily we can be blinded from the truth, though it is right in front of us. We will look at how the crowd was too busy seeking after temporal desires and missing to see their greatest need, which was right in front of them. So to help track through this passage this morning, we'll split it off into three main sections. We'll first look at a temporal need demanded. Then we'll look at an eternal need explained, and then an eternal need revealed. So let's start with that first idea of a temporal need demanded. Let's look there, let's read verses 30 and 31 together. It says, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Let's pause there. What do we see is going on? For let's remember that this is midway through a whole conversation. And just in the last sentence, we saw that Jesus was stating that they must believe in the one whom God had sent, referring to himself. And so the crowd now takes this opportunity, and essentially they ask Jesus this question: "You say you are the Christ, okay, but what sign do you do that we may believe you to be true?" Fair enough question, we may ask. But then look at what they do next. They compare Jesus with Moses. They essentially say, "Well, Moses gave us bread while we were in the wilderness. What are you going to do?" Do we see what they're doing? Let's not forget that just the day before, Jesus had fed the 5,000, or more like the 15,000, the 20,000, including women and children. And now what is the crowd demanding? They're demanding more bread. They're demanding another sign. They're essentially wanting another free feed, and they hope that this one may last a little bit longer than just one meal. In a way, we could be saying that they're saying, "Well, okay, you fed, let's say, 15,000 for one day. Moses fed close to 2 million for a course of 40 years. Moses made bread fall from heaven. You just multiplied what was already there in front of you. If you say you are God, surely you can do better than that." They seem to be belittling Jesus. They're demanding more of him. They're essentially asking him to outdo Moses without realizing whom they are talking to. But why? Why are they doing this? Are they actually asking these questions to see if he is actually the Messiah, the promised one? Do they actually want to see if he is the promised king? Well, we are told the motives back in verse 26, where Jesus said that they were not following him at all to know him better, but they were following him to get another sign, to get another free meal. But let's say for a moment, just for argument's sake, that they did want to see if Jesus was the Messiah. I wonder if somehow Jesus did grant them their wish and started making manna, bread, fall from the heavens. Do you think it would have convinced them that he was Lord? Do you think they would have stopped pursuing him and asking for more signs and starting actually worshiping him? Would they have said, okay, Lord, we will worship you? Well, we know from the story that Jesus did not grant their wish, but I truly think they would not have changed their view of Christ. They would have been grateful for a time, surely. But then, just as it happened to Moses in the wilderness, the people were grateful for a moment, a short time, but then, once again, they were dissatisfied and started grumbling again and demanded for more. They were too focused on the gift that was given and did not look up to the source of the gift. But the sad thing is, we can really be no different. If all of our focus is on the physical, we will never be satisfied. If all of our focus is on getting more bread, on getting a bigger house, on getting the perfect job, or on getting more people to come to church, if all of our attention is just on this physical aspects, then we, just as that crowd, will not be satisfied. We will find ourselves just wanting more. And indeed, they were not satisfied because they had the wrong desire. They were hoping that something physical would quench the desire of an eternal satisfaction. Their desire was to get more food instead of getting to know Jesus better. And so may we challenge each other to check once again our priorities, our desires. For yes, our physical needs are important, but is it more important than the needs of our soul? Our number one desire has to be pleasing God. And so may we continue to challenge each one on what we are seeking and desiring. Are our earthly desires taking priority over our spiritual needs? Are we blinded to any spiritual growth because we are too caught up chasing temporal desires? And the other thing we can learn is that not only was the desire misplaced, but they also had a wrong motive. The motive was for their own personal gain instead of glorifying God. The motive was not actually to see if Jesus was the Messiah, but it was just to satisfy their own desires. It was to see if they could get another free feed from what they saw as a bread dispensing person. They were not motivated, they were only motivated by their physical desires and not their spiritual needs. They were too caught up once again in the sign itself instead of realizing what the sign was pointing towards. And so may we challenge each one of us again on what motivates us. Are we driven to please our own earthly desires? Or are we driven to please God? May we be honest with ourselves. How does our life reflect this? Or even more telling, how does our prayer life reflect our motives? Do we tend to pray just about our physical needs? Or do we pray about our spiritual needs and then the spiritual needs of others, of those around us? What is it? Are our prayers self-centered and focused on how we can get more out of God? Or do we aim our prayers at the needs of others? May we ask ourselves, what motivates us in life? For here the people were motivated by just fulfilling the temporal desires. And so we see the people demand more of Jesus. They demand that Jesus outshines Moses. But then Jesus answers them. And essentially he corrects their views or their view of Moses. He tells and he also, after correcting them, he explains to them their real need. He explains to them what they should actually be seeking after. He explains to them their eternal need, which leads us to the second main section for today, which is an eternal need explained. Let's read verses 32 and 33 of our passage. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So what is Jesus saying here? Well, firstly, we see that Jesus is correcting their view of what Moses did. They had just told Jesus that it was Moses who gave them the bread in the wilderness. But here Jesus is saying that it was not Moses at all, but it was God Himself who gave the manna from heaven. Moses was just used by God as a tool, as a willing servant. But the actual source of the gift was not Moses, but God. It's like when you receive a parcel, the postman may actually be delivering it to you. You might be picking it up from him. But though the postman actually delivered it to you, you know that ultimately it does not come from him. It comes from somebody else. The postman is merely a tool used to deliver the parcel to you. He is only doing his job. He is only a servant, in the sense of the one giving you the gift. God is the source of the gift that Moses gave. Moses was just a tool, a willing servant. And so we see that the people had so much emphasis on Moses, a mere man, whereas they gave no recognition, no credit to the true source of blessing, which is God. And may we learn from that. For we too can so often praise a person for what they have done and not acknowledge God in the picture. We can be so quick to elevate man on a pedestal and give him all the credit for he has done and forget to recognize that it is God who is enabling him to carry out whatever task he may be doing. So the point is, may we learn not to elevate man over God. May we not accredit the efforts to man when in the end all that we do is because of God who is enabling us to do whatever it may be. But I'm not saying that we are not to encourage each other or to recognize when a good work has been done, for we should. But may we do so not in a manner that we will fuel pride to the other person, but may we encourage each other in a manner that gives glory to God. May we encourage each other by attributing all the actions back to God's enablement. May we not put man as a source of the achievements, but may we continue to recognize that it is God that enables us to do anything that we do. But so Jesus corrects their view of who provided the food in the wilderness. And he then goes on to explain that what they actually need is not this physical bread at all, which will not last nor satisfy. But Jesus goes on to explain that there is a true bread from heaven that will satisfy. He explains that what they need is not this temporal bread, but that there is a spiritual bread that will satisfy them forever. Christ is essentially saying that the bread that Moses gave was temporal. It did not last. It may have lasted 40 years, but after that, the people still died. Or after that, the people still needed more food. It did not satisfy them. That is, the manna in the wilderness was not designed to satisfy them forever. It was just physical food designed to help their physical bodies. It was not designed for the nourishment of their souls. It was not designed to give them everlasting satisfaction. However, the true bread of heaven is different. This one, as Jesus said at the end of verse 33, notice there in your Bibles, it says that this bread gives life to the world. This is incredible. Let me ask you, that the bread that you eat in the morning for toast or sandwiches for lunch, was it its purpose? It's to give nourishment to your bodies, it's to give strength that you can carry on. But does it give life? If you try to feed the bread to a corpse, would it put life into it? Certainly not. It does not have that power. It is merely designed to help sustain life, not to generate life. But notice what Jesus is saying about this bread of heaven. It will give life. Not that it will give you the strength and energy. It will do that also. But it will give you life. This is life-generating bread. Indeed, the bread in the wilderness was designed to give nourishment to the physical bodies. But this bread of heaven is designed not just to give you spiritual nourishment, but is designed to give you life to your soul. Just as physical bread is essential for life, here Jesus is saying that without this true bread from heaven, you will not have spiritual life. For this bread is what gives you life. And indeed, we know that Jesus is not talking about some magical physical bread that will do this, but he is referring to a person. For look there at verse 33, what it says, "For the bread of God," which is another way of saying bread of heaven, "is he who comes down from heaven." The bread is he who comes down. Who could that be? We all wonder. Well, the crowd also wondered. But I think they missed it. For notice there their reply. Look there at verse 34, it says, "Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.'" They're essentially now saying, "Okay, Lord, we'll take it. Yes, please. Forget about the bread in the wilderness. Give us this bread that gives us life." But the thing is, though they said, "Yes, give us this bread," they still didn't realize who Jesus was talking about. Just as the woman at the well, when Jesus had told her about the living water, she thought Jesus was referring to physical water. So here, Jesus was not talking about physical bread. Just as the woman did not realize that Jesus was referring to her spiritual needs, so these people did not realize that Jesus was talking about the spiritual needs also. But once again, we can be very similar to the crowd. That is also, we tend to do the same thing. We tend to see everything in the physical terms. We forget that our bodies are not only physical, but also have a soul. We are so quick to see everything in the physical realm and forget that our ultimate need is our spiritual one. But so may we challenge each other to realize that, do we just focus on our spiritual needs? Not to do that. May we not focus just on what is temporal. But rather, may we help each other to see that our spiritual needs and how we can grow in our likeness of Christ is most important. May we challenge each other with how our personal devotions are doing, with how our prayer life is going, with how we are enjoying and participating in the various means of grace that God has so kindly given to us. But once again, to be clear, we still have physical bodies, and our physical bodies need nourishment. They need to be cared for. Indeed, God calls us to be good stewards of what he has given us, and that includes our physical bodies. We need to provide for the physical needs of our families and ourselves. But the point is that all that we are doing? Is all our attention spent on providing for the physical well-being of our bodies and our families, while our souls may be neglected? May we remember from passages such as 1 Timothy 4 verse 8, which teaches us this point. It says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come." Do we see what Paul is saying there? Yes, bodily exercise is benefit. Yes, we need to care about our physical bodies and those of our families and those around us. But the benefit of that is minimum compared to the benefit of our spiritual gain, of our spiritual exercise. We need to care about our physical bodies, but how much more should we be caring about our souls? And so we see that the crowd was blinded from the truth. They were blinded because they were so focused on the physical. They were so focused on the here and now and did not realize that there was a greater need than getting another free feed. And so they demand Jesus to give them this bread. "Please, Lord, give this one to us." And so Jesus has to be so clear as possible, which leads us to our next third point, and that is an eternal need revealed. This is where Jesus has to be as clear as possible, saying that he himself is their greatest need. Let's read verses 35 and 36 together. It says, "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe.'" And so here we have it. Jesus explicitly states that he is the bread of life. It would have been fascinating to see the reactions on their faces. They were probably expecting Jesus to tell them, "Go to such and such a bakery and you will find this magical loaf," or expecting Jesus to generate this physical bread in front of them. But no, Jesus says that he himself is the bread of life. He is the eternal need. He is the source of life. He is the source of all of our nourishment that will last forever. He is the source of our everlasting satisfaction. What a statement. So let's take a little bit closer at what that statement really is. This is indeed one of the first seven I am statements that John records to us in the book of John. Six of a time, Jesus compares himself with a physical element to describe his role as a savior. We will see these as we progressively go through the book of John, but the other six are just that we know what we're looking forward to is, "I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." Each of these statements reveal and reflect an element of God's saving role to lost sinners. But today we have, "I am the bread of life." And what a statement. But firstly, as we look at this one, let's recognize firstly the significance of the first statement, "I am." This is not just Jesus associating himself with being the bread of life. But by using this term, he is claiming to be God. And the Jews who knew this, who were listening, knew this. For this phrase, "I am," is a covenant name of God that was given to Moses at the burning bush, as recorded in Exodus. When Moses asked God, "Who should I say sent me?" And God says in Exodus 3, verse 14, and God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And so when Jesus uses this phrase to refer to himself, this is indeed a direct claim to being God. And the Jews knew this very well, for Jesus used this phrase later on in the book of John in chapter 8, and immediately they tried to stone Jesus because of his blasphemy. And indeed it would be blasphemy if Jesus was merely a man. But indeed, we know that Jesus is indeed 100% man, but he is also 100% God. He is the God-man. He is God incarnate. He is the I am. And so we first notice that Jesus is making a claim to be God. And then we see Jesus calling himself the bread of life. We need to understand that bread was much more of a stable diet back then than it probably is here. In fact, it was probably one of the most stable diets that they could have. So by equating himself to bread, he is equating himself to all food, to the source of our physical life. He's essentially saying that as your body will suffer and die if you do not have food, so your soul will suffer and die without Christ. People would die if they did not have bread. And so our souls will die if we do not have Christ. And so we must ask ourselves the question, have we come and believed in Christ? Have we come and believed that He is the bread of life? If you have not come, and believed in Jesus, then may I challenge you, why not? What is stopping you? For consider this, if there is one thing that we can learn from other religions, is people want to get to heaven. For God has created in us a desire for eternity in our hearts. But the problem is that we also know from Scripture that there is none who is righteous. We know that everyone has sinned. We have all fallen short of God's perfect standard. The Bible is so clear that we can do nothing of our own efforts to be made right with a holy God. But the thing is, people still try. People try to be at peace with God by trying to do enough good. They try to earn their way to heaven. They try to quench the desire to be made right with God through many various different means and efforts. Some indeed try to quench that desire by chasing after success or comfort or pleasure, as we looked at last week. But the point is, nothing that they will ever do will be able to quench the desire of righteousness. And so the people spend all their life trying to find satisfaction through whatever they can. But they are chasing after a desire that they will never be able to quench with their own efforts. But here we have Jesus saying that He is the bread of life. He is the source of life, that those who come to Him and believe will never hunger nor thirst. Indeed, their soul will be satisfied. Jesus is saying that all other things will never satisfy the desire to be made right with God. However, those who come and believe in Christ will find satisfaction of their soul. Those who come to Christ will have to search no further. For indeed, Christ is the bread of life. So my question to ask again is, do you want to be satisfied? Do you want to be at peace with God? And so we must ask, have you come and believed in Jesus? Have you come and believed that Jesus died in your place? That He bore the punishment that we deserve? Have you come to realize that without Christ, you have as much hope of entering heaven as you do as trying to live your physical life without food or water? Have you come to realize that our only hope is indeed the promised Messiah? Or are you still trying to live your life without Him? If you have not believed in Jesus, do you realize that though you may have riches and treasures here on earth, if you have not Christ, your soul will be lost for eternity? Please consider these things. For we do forget that our time here on earth is so short. In fact, I've been reminded once again how short life is just this very week. When a friend suddenly passed away just last week with limited warning, and now he's gone. Life is short. We do not know when our time will come, but what we do know is that death is coming. And the other thing that we know is that though our earthly bodies will be no more very shortly, our soul will continue. And it will continue either in torment or in comfort. And so may we challenge each one again. How much time are we spending to ensure that our soul will be spent in heaven compared to chasing after temporal, fleeting desires? And then with this in mind, I pray that the next verse in our passage is not true for anyone here. For it says in verse 36, "But I say to you that you have seen Me, and yet do not believe." This was Jesus speaking to those around Him, that there were some there that had seen the Messiah with their very eyes. They had seen and witnessed His miracles. They had seen and witnessed His preaching firsthand. And yet they did not believe, for they were still blinded by their physical desires. They were too focused on getting what they wanted out of Jesus instead of looking up to Him and realizing what He was offering them. Please, may this not be any one of us here. May we not be blinded by our temporal desires, but may we realize that our ultimate need is indeed Christ. And so we have seen Jesus telling to his listeners, I am God and I am the source of life. You must come to me if you want to enter heaven. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 35 that those who come to him will not hunger or thirst. Indeed, their longing to be made right with a holy God will be satisfied. Not in their own efforts, but in the efforts of our Messiah. Those who come will have to search no further. All they need to grow in Christ-likeness, everything they need to grow in their faith is right in front of them. All they need to be made right with God is found in Christ. For he is the bread of life. Christ is sufficient for all that we need. He is sufficient and able to pardon our sin. He is sufficient and able to grant us the righteousness that we need to enter into heaven. He is sufficient and able to carry us through any life trials and testings and sufferings. He is sufficient for making us more like him in any area that we need. For he is the bread of life. And so as we start now to bring things to a close, may we really look at what we've just been looking at. Indeed, we've seen a crowd of people who are more focused on their physical desires than their spiritual need. All they were wanting was another sign from Jesus to satisfy their own personal temporal desires. They were focused on what would be the next great miracle instead of looking at the source of the miracles, the bread of life. They were blinded from their real eternal need because they were too focused on satisfying their physical fleeting desires rather than searching what would satisfy them eternally. And so may we check to see what our desires and motives are. For far too often we are like the crowd, focused on chasing after material gain, hoping that it will satisfy us. May we ask ourselves, what am I pursuing? What am I seeking? Is it something that has eternal value? Or is it fleeting and temporal, like chasing after another free feed that will never satisfy, but only creating a greater desire for more? This makes me think of when we use bubbles with our children. We blow those bubbles, beautiful bubbles, into the air, and then the children run around trying to catch them. But just as they're about to catch one, they touch it, and it pops right in front of them. And then they turn around and try to catch another one. Same idea, they're just about to touch it, they touch it, and it pops in front of them. And so they run back and forth trying to catch these bubbles. But just as the children will never be satisfied with a bubble that they catch, so we will never be satisfied if all we chase is after material gain. And so may we not be like the crowd who was too busy chasing after the next best thing, hoping that this one will satisfy us. They were so fixated on the temporal desires, they were blinded of their real need. Though they had the bread of life in front of them, their desires were not on getting to know him, but only on what they could get out of him for their own personal gain. Do we elevate what we think we need instead of listening to what God says that we actually need? We need to be honest with ourselves. Is there, or what areas in our life are taking priority over God? May we ask ourselves again, how is our Bible reading going? How is our prayer life? Is it going at all? If not, why not? What can be more important than communing with our Lord? What is taking priority of our relationship with God? Are we too focused on getting a good life here while neglecting our spiritual health? Are we too busy chasing after fleeting things and storing up treasures here on earth while not caring about the well care of our soul? May we never forget that yes, we have physical bodies, but more importantly, we have a soul that is eternal. How much of our time and attention is spent chasing temporal pleasures while our soul might be in great danger? How much time are we seeking after more signs and miracles instead of seeking after Christ? And so may we continue as a church, as an individuals, to seek and be satisfied in Christ, for he is indeed the bread of life. He is our greatest need that will never fail us. So let us come and believe and be satisfied in the bread of life. Let's pray. Lord, we are so humbled again before you, Lord. Lord, for you are the bread of life. Lord, you are our only hope. Lord, help us to have our priorities set right. Lord, help us to focus on you, realize that all we need is you. Lord, help us to continually come and be satisfied in you, Lord. May we not be chasing after material gain, Lord, but may we continually come to you, who is the source of our everlasting joy and life. Lord, we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.